You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We are back, as we always are, Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Last couple of days, we've been talking about the All-Star Game. We've been discussing tampering with Towns. We've been talking about what was our favorite parts of the All-Star Game. We've talked about the possibility of Wiggins trying to stay sick, this illness. We've speculated on its legitimacy, and we've delved into that. Now let's try and keep it more positive here, Trey. Let's get out of the sticky realm of tampering and of faked illnesses. Let's just get to something that the Timberwolves fans can really enjoy. Let's talk about what are the most important pieces going forward. Who are the most important players going forward for the last, what do they have, like 25 games, 26 games left?
25 games. We went 20-21 through our first 41 games, average, almost. And yeah, we have 25 games left, and we've been 7-9 since those first 41 games this season.
Jeez. Well, you know what? We're going to just talk about what is going to be important for the Timberwolves moving forward. I've got some hot takes, and I'm gonna stash one of them till later. But I want to know, just if you're looking at this roster, what is the first thing that jumps out to you? Is like, this is the player that's going to need. He's the guy who's going to need to either turn it on or make a big difference. Or who's your guy? Who's your number one pick right out of the gate?
Well, I have honorable mentions, and I also
have three
key players here. I was very formal about this. So honorable mention-wise, I'll just hit those up real quick. Robert Covington has to stay healthy, and if he can come back, we're going to be pretty set on the defensive end. We've been missing that wing to really help out, and Andrew Wiggins, with all the backlash he's gotten from myself and other people, a lot of it's been because he's had to take a step up on defense, even though it doesn't seem like it. He's had to take more of a role of the wing and shooting guard position. And it's been tough for him to do both of those tasks while simultaneously getting most of the shots up on the offensive end. So having Robert Covington back, the glove will be, it'd be very helpful. And he should be back within, I would say, a week and a half. We're going to go on a three-game road trip in about four games. And I think that there's a possibility he could take that road trip with Minnesota. So I could see that happening. My next guy is Dario Saric. I just think he should have a bigger role on this team. I've been very adamant about that, so I won't harp on it too much. But, I mean, with him getting the starting nod over Taj Gibson, I think that's the first step. And obviously, Taj plays some very important minutes in the back end of these basketball games, and his IQ is unmatched on this team, especially on the crafty steals that he gets at the end of games. Like, you can't see Saric doing that, or, frankly, any player on this team. So, aside from that, I just think Dario, I said on our last pod, his three-point ability and his playmaking ability separates himself from most fours in this league, and I think he just needs a bigger role. And then my last honorable mention guy, which you might be surprised by, Colton, is Jeff Teague. I think Jeff Teague has been playing very well, essentially since I've been criticizing him, so I look like an idiot. But Jeff Teague has done very well since his injury. In the past seven games, he's averaging 52% from the field, 40% from three, 13 points a game, less assists, which I think is actually important in this one because I don't think more assists always equates to wins for point guards. He's averaging 7.6 assists, only 1.9 turnovers, which he's always had a good turnover assist ratio. But essentially, he's on my honorable mention list because I think he's going to be very, very important with Robert Covington and Dario Saric moving forward, because I think a lot of these three, each one of these three players will kind of do the dirty work needed to pull out wins that won't always get the credit that my first player will get a lot, because my first key player on this list is Karl-Anthony Towns. And I know that's pretty obvious, and I think that a lot of fans obviously want Karl-Anthony Towns to be the guy moving forward for the next 25 games we have left. But I've done predictions, Colton. I went through this schedule, and I predict we go 14-11 in these next 25 games, and that totals us out to, funnily enough, a record of 41-41, the most 500 team you can think of. And it just happened to be that way. I really did it by accident. Actually, I did it this morning. It was a real accident, but it happened to be that way. And I predict we're going to 14-11 because I can only see Karl-Anthony Towns keeping up his production the way he's doing at a consistent level for the next 25 games. He's averaging 25 points per game. He's averaging 12 rebounds a game, 4 assists, 3 turnovers, 55% from the field, 42% from the 3-point line. And 88% from the free throw line is amazing. It's 6 free throws attempts a game. That's great. So those numbers look amazing, right, at face value. But if you look a little bit deeper, he's only averaging 32 minutes a game. I think you can throw another 3 or 4 minutes on that these last 25 games. I think he can average 35 to 36 minutes a game like Andrew Wiggins is doing currently. The reason why he hasn't done that, and that's my second point to Karl-Anthony Towns, is that he's gotten a lot of recent foul trouble. He's averaging close to 4 fouls a game over the past 15 games. And that's an issue, obviously. That's not a good look. And I think defenders know that. When you see him play high IQ guys like Al Horford, they take advantage of him. And they do that by trying to get him in, like, risque situations where a lot of times they kind of tuck his elbow in and it looks like he's fouling someone when he's not. And that is what we're going to see from him. And we're not going to see a lot of referees give him love, as we've talked about in this podcast before. He's kind of got that DeMarcus Cousins syndrome, but the opposite. He's too quiet, and so he doesn't get a lot of attention or love from the refs. So he immediately becomes my first key player, because if Minnesota wants to have a better record than a 14-11 in the second 25 games to become better than 41-41, Towns needs to essentially average what he was averaging in December for the next 25 games. And I think we both agree that that's a possibility, but he essentially has to take no foul trouble. He has to take more shots. He's averaging a few, like 3 shots less than Andrew Wiggins, which should not happen. He's also averaging close to the same amount of shots as Derrick Rose this season. He needs to stay aggressive, and also he needs to run the offense through him at times. I think that even though we have a lot of point guards on this team, I think it's been undervalued how his 4 assists a season this year, how much that's helped Minnesota. Every game where he has 5 or more assists, they look like a better basketball team. And I know I just said assists don't equate to wins at the point guard position, but sometimes running the offense through a big man can be helpful, because then it forces guys like Andrew Wiggins to play more off the ball and quicker movement from the perimeter rather than just stand there. I think that's important moving forward. So with those few qualities I think Cat can improve on, if he can improve on all of those over the next 25 games, I think he's our number one key player.
First of all, honorable mention, Jeff Teague. I don't know what you've done with my friend Trey, but let him go. Let Trey go. He's a good guy. He hasn't done anything to anybody. He's a molder of young minds. Just let him go. Just let him go.
Love it.
Secondly, I do think it is important to note Towns, and not only that, because it feels almost like there is this. Sometimes there's a perception that when Towns isn't going absolutely ridiculous like he was in like December, early January, where it's just like, oh, well, he's kind of going away again. And I just don't know. I think it's almost that people got a little used to his production, because he hasn't really gone away. If you're looking at these games, he's still taking over games. And even games where he's not the highlight, he's still destroying most opponents night in and night out. And he really has put on a clinic this year. And I think that if you're going to take anything away from this year, whether they make the playoffs or not, I would say that it's just encouraging the growth that he's shown. I thought that he has looked a lot more engaged defensively and less. He's looked a little less lost defensively than last year. I think that he's really imposed his will more consistently this year than I think any other year. And I think that there has been foul trouble, but we talked about this. I think he's super hard to officiate. I think it's really hard to officiate a 7-foot dude who plays all over the place like he does and who's running all over the place and plays with his kind of speed. I think it's tough to officiate him. And I think once he makes a couple more All-Star games, kind of gets that superstar blue chip level of an NBA player, I think he's just going to get more calls, like a LeBron James, like Kevin Durant. I think like a James Harden. He's just going to get a lot more calls, and he's just not to that status yet. And so it's really hard for him to be officiated. And I don't think that's necessarily a knock on him. And I also don't think it's a knock on him that he cares so much and that he gets so engaged in these games. Maybe it distracts him a little bit, but I guess I'd rather have him care than with Wiggins, where he just doesn't give a shit. So I think that he has made some leaps this year that are encouraging for the future of the Timberwolves.
Yeah, completely agree. I think it's a good sign moving forward, but, you know, I think we both stand in the same awkward spot of, listen, Towns, we know you're playing like an all-star right now, but we kind of need you to play like an MVP right now. And that's unfortunate, but it's just what needs to be done if he wants to make the playoffs. And I like what you said about his emotion. We know it's there, but he needs to show it a little bit more sometimes. If we can get movie theater Towns on the court, we're set. Like, I think that that's the idea. If you can get a guy that is that passionate about making an all-star game and feels the, you know, the obligation to feel committed to an organization to the point where he wants to stay with Minnesota for the rest of his career and actually cares about getting an all-star appearance, not just for himself, but for the team. That is a really important quality that is overlooked in players nowadays that I think isn't in our top 10 players in the league right now. I think there's only like two or three players who truly care about their team, not just themselves, in the top 10 guys in the league right now. And there is a difference there. And I think Towns can turn himself into a fan favorite player, because that's all it takes to get this referee recognition. Is if you can turn yourself into a fan favorite, you'll get it. You'll be all over the news. Bleacher Report will be posting about you all the time. It just happens. And I can see it from him. So he just has to improve on those things over the next, let's say, 25 games. And, you know, there's possibility there. But aside from Towns, Colton, who's your first key player? What do you got?
Well, I'm going to get to that. First, let's take a break for some sponsors, however.
There you go.
Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, we're talking about who are the most important players in the last 25 games of the season. And I actually don't, for my first one, I don't have a player. I have a lineup for you. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right. So per 36 minutes, I went and looked at five-man lineups per 36 minutes and the points they scored. You know what was the third best point-scoring lineup per 36 minutes for a five-man lineup?
Oh, my gosh. You're asking me to guess?
You don't have to guess. I was surprised by this. It was.
I have no idea. I can't even tell you off the top.
Per 36 minutes, five-man lineup, third highest scoring just in points. Luol Deng, Derrick Rose, Gorgui Jang, Andrew Wiggins, Dario Saric. When those five players are out on the floor per 36 minutes, I know it's kind of a weird, funky stat, but that's the third highest. And they're shooting 75% from the field, 50% from three.
Jeez.
And they're averaging 48.8 assists they're posting per 36 minutes. I think that maybe it's some weird lineup that they're throwing out against some second unit against a bunch of teams that just aren't really expecting the size from the Timberwolves, maybe. Or maybe Derrick Rose just really runs well with Deng and Saric and Wiggins. I'm not exactly sure why it's so high up in this category, but I mean, let's see more of this lineup, maybe. Maybe let's see more of this lineup where Rose is just really pushing the pace with these long, really big dudes against somebody's second unit. I want to see more of this lineup, because if it's working, I mean, throw it out against teams more. Play them a little more. Throw them out against the second unit a little more hastily. I'm not exactly sure why this formula is working, but let's see more of it.
Yeah, I think it's funny you brought that up, because when going through these per 36, and I've even gone through the per 48, the per 1 minute, I've been through it all, Colton. And I didn't note the lineup, so that was really interesting. So I like that. Let's see Derrick Rose with the longer guys. I think that would really work out well. And, you know, it should be also – we should remember how close we were to not having any point guard on this team. We're essentially, you know – I can't even remember his name off the top of my head right now, which is ridiculous. But essentially, Jared Bayless. There we go. Jared Bayless was the starting point guard of this team that plays 38 minutes a game. We were like, Bayless, the new Jeff Teague? Is he like, should he be starting? And now we have guys like Rose and Teague back, and we're back to normal. So it's good to have these guys back. Now we can talk about these things like lineups. And Derrick Rose with longer players makes sense because of the way he runs the court. And it'll just be something that will be differentiated on the court that we can mess with. It's a little bit more dynamic, too. It's creative. I like that idea. To kind of go off that point, this isn't one of my key players at all, but Gorgui Jang kind of adds to that per 36 minutes, because in per 36 minute stats per player, and essentially if you're a listener and you're like, why do per 36 minute stats, it's interesting to see per 36, because if a player starts and he's a full starter, meaning he's going to play 3 to 4 quarters, They usually play around 32 to 36 minutes. So if you maximize their potential at 36 minutes, that's why they want to see those guys there. And Andrew Wiggins is the only player on this team that plays 36 minutes. Karl Anthony Towns plays 32. And so Gorgie Jang, per 36 numbers, are almost identical to Andrew Wiggins, but taking five less shots. And I think that that isn't a good sign for Andrew Wiggins, and that is not a good sign. And it's probably a good sign for Jang, but just because of production he can have in a game. You're not going to win a game with Jang playing 36 minutes, so that's why stats like that can be overdone. But I just think it shows more to Andrew Wiggins and what he needs to do, because that's pretty terrible. But aside from that, I really like that lineup. I want to see that. I think that'll be a lot of fun. And I think that Derrick Rose, when healthy, is going to do a lot of damage with those lineups, which brings me to my second key player, and that's Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose, I wrote him as a second key player because if he stays healthy, he stays aggressive like he's been, and he plays in dynamic rosters like the one you noted, and acts like every game's his last game, which he has been doing this season, I think he is going to be our second most important player on this team. And I think that's objective at this point. I think it's a fact. I don't really think that you can make an argument right now that Andrew Wiggins is our second most important player this season. I think it's been Derrick Rose. I think everyone's been kind of on the same page with that, except if you're like, you know, if you're, you know, a little nervous about that contract with Andrew Wiggins, that you feel he should be the second most important player. It's a different conversation, which I get. But Derrick Rose has been playing so well this season. We need him to come up clutch. In the past 15 games, he's played 8 games, but in those 8 games, he's averaging 18 points a game. So, I mean, he's our second leading scorer over Wiggins. And I think if Ryan Saunders can get him going in these next 25 games with Towns and have these two players play like they are all-stars, I know one of them is, but maybe the other one should have been, you can see a record better than 14-11 like the one I noted as an example. I think that you could see a record more like 16-9, something along those lines, to get a couple squeeze an extra couple wins out there, because Derrick Rose at the end of games is our go-to guy. And I think that that can be undervalued at times, because we have guys like Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, which a lot of people overhype at times in the end of games, because Towns doesn't do much at the end of games unless he's throwing up shots, I guess. Like, sometimes that works, but Andrew Wiggins most definitely has his moments, but there's still moments sprinkled in his history. With Derrick Rose, it feels like at the end of every game, if he does have the ball in his hands, I feel more confident than not that they're going to win that game this season. And I think that if he continues to play at that level healthy, he'll definitely be our second biggest key factor moving forward.
I would just like to point out that if you're looking at the five-player lineups, and again, this is a little funkier of a stat just because with some lineups playing a lot less than others, it can really swing in some players' directions. Injuries also, you've had players who have been injured for a little bit, and so the lineups that they were in, those stats get swung a little bit because they don't have maybe as many minutes. But I'm just saying, in 5 minutes, take it for what it's worth at face value. In five player lineups, if you're looking at the Timberwolves' pace, it's guards like Tyus Jones, Derrick Rose that just own like the top 10 in just the various lineups, just as far as high pace and really running the high pace for the Timberwolves, and not Jeff. I don't think Jeff Teague's in here for the first like 20. I mean, Isaiah Cannon has almost run, when he's running the offense, has almost as high of a pace mark with specific lineups than Jeff Teague. And so it's Derrick Rose has been insanely important for so many different layers of this team and so many different aspects of what this basketball team does. It's really, if you don't think Jeff Teague has been important to this season, I encourage you just to go into NBA.com, into the Minnesota Timberwolves, into the Minnesota Timberwolves page of NBA.com stats, and just look at some of the different things on the Timberwolves, and it will be really hard for you to miss Derrick Rose's fingerprints on this roster and on this team's success. Just look at different stats. Just look all over the place. Look at the shooting efficiency of players that receive passes from him. Look at his efficiency. Look at his shooting efficiency percentage. Look at the pace when he's on the floor. Look at the scoring when he's on the floor. Just, it's impossible when you really look at stats to say that he hasn't had a massive impact on this team for positive. And I think that if everybody goes and does that, maybe he actually makes it a damn All-Star game. So whatever. We're going to take another break for some sponsors. I got one I think that's going to hopefully knock your socks off here, really catch you off guard. But first, let's take a break for some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, we've been talking about which players are going to be most impactful in the last leg of this Timberwolves season. And we've had some real winners. Towns, I've mentioned a lineup. Trey has brought up Derrick Rose, all really important. I don't know if any of them are as important as Isaiah Cannon, though. I really don't. Here's the thing. Just listen before we judge. Here's the thing. Jared Bayless.
Oh, my God.
Over the last four games, he's averaged 17.5 minutes and 0.7 points per game and shooting 11% from the field. Oh, and 0%. He's shooting 0% from three-point range. And since joining this team, Isaiah Cannon has played in seven games. He's really played in like two or three, if we're going to be honest with his minute load. But let's just say it's seven games. This is how many games he's played in. Seven games for the Timberwolves. He's averaging 13.6 minutes, 4.7 points. He's averaging 2.7 assists. Again, these aren't crazy numbers, but the Timberwolves really love using three-point guards in the game. They really do. And Tyus Jones is coming back on Friday against the Knicks, but you don't know where he's going to be at. Trey has brought this up a lot, how injured Derrick Rose has played over the last couple of months. So you don't know how many – on a given night, you're not exactly sure how many minutes you can – 100% bank on for Derrick Rose. There are definitely some nights where it feels like he should probably play like 15 to 18 versus 25 to 27. And so it really, with the way the Timberwolves have been liking to use the depth at point guard and really going to three point guards throughout the course of a game, and with the injuries that the Timberwolves are still trying to shake, you really do need four point guards. They really are better suited to play four point guards, at least for the next couple weeks. And while Jared Bayless, while the Timberwolves owe him for a few games, when Jeff Teague went out right away and Derrick Rose, and he kind of held the ship together a little bit, he has played god-awful and shot absolutely terrible the last couple of weeks before the end of the season. And I don't know. I just think Isaiah Cannon adds this spark to the team. He gives this team a little breath of fresh air. I mentioned it when we first saw him start. He's kind of a little bit of a jitterbug. He's just high energy. He's going to be running around. He's going to be really pursuing and bothering players. I like him a lot, and I think that he should get minutes over Jared Bayless. And again, it's not going to be a ton of minutes because this is talking about the fourth point guard. But with these injuries that you're still trying to shake with Tyus Jones, with Derrick Rose, I think that it actually over the next couple of weeks might sneaky be a little more than you anticipate for the fourth guard on this team. And I think those have to go to Isaiah Cannon over Jared Bayless. And I think it's important because I think being diverse and going deep into your point guards and throwing out a bunch of small ball lineups against some of these teams is actually going to be the route for victory for the Timberwolves. And so it's going to be important who's getting a bunch of minutes at the fourth point guard when you're dealing with these injuries like Tyus Jones coming back from this injury. And so I think that Isaiah Cannon actually, I think in a week when they're throwing out a bunch of small ball lineups and when they've played a bunch of opponents, I think in a week there's potential that, oh, Isaiah Cannon actually had like a good 10 minutes here and a great 12 minutes here. And that was actually really important. And having Jared Bayless and his 11% shooting out there would be hurtful for the team.
Okay, let me break this down. All right, well, first of all, there is no bigger proponent besides, I think, just me and Colton and all of Minnesota of Isaiah Cannon, because since Isaiah Cannon got his first 10-day contract, I remember the first day he got it, we did our podcast, and I was like, man, I watched some Cannon highlights this morning. I'm good to go about talking about some Isaiah Cannon. Like, I like this guy. He's nice. He's from Phoenix. He had the same Gordon Hayward injury, except it wasn't on live TV, so nobody saw it. It would have been just as big of a deal. No, it wouldn't have, but still, it's a deal. But it's great to hear Colton say this. It makes me excited, and I totally agree with you. I think that right now with the recent play of Jared Bayless, Isaiah Cannon makes more sense. And just having four point guard lineups in the NBA makes a lot of sense. However, unless I am wrong, okay, so we're taping this 8:30 time in Minnesota for the listeners in the morning on February 21st. Isaiah Cannon could be waived over the next 2 or 3 hours because this is his second 10-day contract that he's on, and he signed that on February 11th. So on the day that we love Isaiah Cannon and love on him could be the same day that Minnesota decides to waive him, because I'm not quite sure how exactly this 10-day contract is going to work the one he's on, but this is his last day on his second 10-day contract. So it would be really sad for me to end this on a negative note, so I'll just say this. If there was a way where they could buy out Jared Bayless, even though he's had his moments in a Timberwolves jersey, and play Cannon rather off the bench more, plus he's got like 4 years younger on him, I think that would be a better idea, even though Bayless is going to be making $8 million this season. And I know that that's a lot of money, but still, I do think that Colton's onto something. I think there's more of a fresh leg behind Isaiah Cannon than Jared Bayless. And even with the recent play being, you know, I don't want to judge a guy by his worst moment or his best one, but all Jared Bayless has done is have really good moments and really bad ones. So it's really hard to find a middle ground with that guy. So I would love Isaiah Cannon to continue playing in a Timberwolves jersey. And the worst part about this is people who are listening to this might see a Cannon wave right before it comes up to a live audience. So, you know, I ended on a good note. I hope that Minnesota keeps Cannon. I hope that they figure that out. And ultimately, if they don't, he's a good point guard. He'll find a new home somewhere elsewhere. Unless I'm missing something. Unless I don't know that they've already signed him or extended him to the rest of the season.
I haven't seen anything. If you're a listener, definitely hit us up and call us out. But as of right now, and this is still early in the morning, so like you're saying, there still is a big span for the remainder of this day where he could be waived or he could be re-signed to another short little contract. But as of right now, I haven't seen anything on the status of Cannon and his time with the Timberwolves. But I hope he sticks with the team. I do. And I think that maybe this seems stupid and this seems like we're talking about a deep bench player that won't matter. But here's the thing. When you're going against teams in the next couple of games, like the Bucks and the Pacers, I think it would be prudent to try throwing a small ball lineup and seeing what kind of success you can get with a small ball lineup against these bigger, longer teams. Really try and run them out of the gym. And when you have guys like Tyus Jones and Derrick Rose coming back from injury, and Jeff Teague is like the healthiest guy of this bunch, and he just came back from injury too. And it's just that he came back from injury a few weeks before some of these other guys. That's why he's the healthiest player, not because he has had the clean bill of health so far this season. And so when you have a bunch of guys who have just been banged up all year, it's nice to have a fourth guy at point guard to say, hey, we want to run two or even three point guards right now, and we just need to give Tyus Jones a break, or Jeff Teague really needs a breather, or Derrick Rose is just, he's looking like that ankle is bothering him this game for whatever reason. So let's throw Isaiah Cannon out there with Tyus Jones or with Teague, and let's really run this team ragged out there. And I think that's going to be a big deal, especially in this next week when you're playing bigger teams like the Bucks and the Pacers. So I think maybe it's easy to blow it out of proportion, but I think that this is actually a sneaky important one, and I hope the Timberwolves re-sign him to like another, I don't know, can you do 3 10-day contracts, or how is there? I can't remember off the top of my head.
I believe it's 2, and then you have to extend the player for the rest of the season.
That's what I thought, but yeah. Again, for 25 games, I don't see a problem with extending him for the rest of the season at all. And so this is my guy, and I went funky. Trey was the capital J for journalist today because he went with the real players. I went funky with the weird lineup and Isaiah Cannon, but you know what? Hopefully people were able to glean something from this one.
No, okay, listen up, listeners. If you're thinking right now that Colton is just picking another player to add to his DeAnthony Melton and Deion Waiters Island, you are correct and also incorrect at the same time, because this is real journalism that he's talking about. This is the in-depth, nitty-gritty stuff that you wouldn't know about unless it was for Colton Molesky. So if you're a listener and you're downing this podcast right now, we'll turn up the volume because I'm about to tell you that this might be the most important key player, all right? Because we had to see a lineup this year where we had to talk ourselves into point Andrew Wiggins, okay? And I'm not dissing Andrew Wiggins, but we're talking about one of the players on this team with the worst vision on the court because Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones, Derrick Rose were all out of a basketball game, and we saw freaking Jared Bayless get into foul trouble, our bald savior apparently, and we had to turn to point Andrew Wiggins for this lineup. So talking about a point guard like Isaiah Cannon to get an actual role on this team is a viable conversation. Like, it's a tangible conversation that we're having right now. Like, this is a real debate, and this is real journalism. So Colin, don't doubt yourself. I hate that. You're throwing out facts right now, so don't doubt it.
But this guy makes me blush. I tell you what, we're gonna head out. But first, before we do, I'd like to remind everyone, hey, if you have questions, Trey and I, we don't have answers maybe, but we would love to try and speculate with you. And we can't do that if you don't hit up the @LockedOnTWolves Twitter account. You can also find us at @TreyFlynnNBA and at @CMolesky. So reach out to us, let us know what your questions are, and if you do, we will shout you out on the show. We will answer them on this podcast. Make sure you're asking us questions. Make sure you're coming to us with your crazy basketball theories. I love them all, just like they're each one of my children. I love all crazy basketball theories, and so I am willing to talk about them and see if they're viable or why they're so crazy and out of the realm of possibility. But I'm still willing to put them up on the show, so definitely reach out to us on Twitter and reach out to one of our Twitter accounts, and we will answer questions on the show. Thank you everyone for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.